So each year at this time, we keep the anniversary of the dedication of the church, although this is, in fact, the third building on this site, dating only from 1927. Now, that small detail aside, we celebrate the fact that for 135 years now, on this site has stood a house of prayer for all people, a temple of the living God. And just to put that into perspective for you, in 1876, the year that this parish was established, the centennial year of the United States, by the way, Custer made his last stand at Little Bighorn. Queen Victoria was proclaimed Empress of India, and Tom Sawyer was published. Now, I think I mentioned this about 6 years ago. We'll see how your memory is. But about 6 years ago, I was in a bank. And the teller said to me, "Father, St. James is such a wonderful church." I'm a smart aleck. And I said, "Yes, and the buildings are nice too." Making the point that it is not the stones, not the glass that make this place holy, but rather the God who dwells here. And all the prayers and praises that have been offered by God's people within these walls all these many years and in the two wooden buildings which preceded this one. We stand on historic ground, we stand on holy ground. And with Jacob, we can say, how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. So we give thanks for the buildings. We give thanks for the community of faith, which for 135 years have prayed together, stood together, worked together, laughed together, cried together. We are their inheritors. I suppose the word that I'm looking for is patrimony. Patrimony is the aggregate of those things that have been handed down to us by those who've come before. That patrimony might be physical, the building, the glass, the silver, and so on. Or the patrimony might be seen in terms of the spiritual gift that have been handed down to God, by God, to us, to our forebears. So the question this morning is, what is our patrimony at St. James? Or more specifically, what are the spiritual endowments that have been handed down to us in this place? And I'm going to list three, all beginning with the letter C, so you can remember them. And if you forget, they're on the cover of your bulletin right underneath the picture of the church. The first is Christ. Jesus is the object of our faith. He is the hope of the world. And he is our Savior. He is the way, the truth, the life. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the lover of our souls. And if we are to be faithful servants, if we are to maintain our patrimony, we must set our eyes on Christ. Now, as Anglican Christians, the primary way that we see Jesus is through worship, through common prayer. And I think that our worship is simply biblical worship. Like the first Christians, we listen to the scriptures and we celebrate the breaking of bread every single Sunday. We have an unbroken line of succession in ministry. We have prayer, which is time-tested and doctrinally sound. Our worship is reverent, uplifting, and strengthens us for the week ahead. But most importantly, in our worship, we get a glimpse into the very throne room of heaven. There's an author by the name of Rose McCauley, and she wrote a lot of sort of stuff between the wars. She wrote a book called The Towers of Trebizond, and it gives a wonderful picture, the best I can find, of what I'm talking about. She writes this: I would go to High Mass, and the church would build itself up before me and around me with its structure of liturgical words and music, which was like fine architecture being reared into the sky, while the priests moved to and fro before the altar in their glittering robes and crosses, and the rows of tall candles lifted their flames like yellow tulips, and the incense flowed around us. Here was the structure, I would think, in which the kingdom was enshrined, or whose doors opened on the kingdom. And sometimes those doors would swing ajar, and there the kingdom was, clear and awesome and bright. And not only do we get a glimpse of God's throne room, a glimpse of the kingdom, we receive the King Himself, veiled under the appearance of bread and wine, the God-man Jesus Christ, body and soul, humanity and divinity, gives himself to us. In Holy Communion, we are made one body with Christ, that he may dwell in us and we in him. So if we are to be faithful to those who have gone before, each and every one of us really ought to be at Mass every Sunday. There are going to be times when we're sick, times when we have to work, times when, just for the sake of sanity, we have to get out of Dodge. But let those be the rarest of exceptions and not the rule. So, Christ. The second C is compassion, which is a very important part of our spiritual patrimony. Love of God always goes hand in hand with love of neighbor. Now, the word compassion comes from the Latin compassio, which means to suffer with. No one should have to carry a burden alone or face a temptation alone. No one should ever have to sit in a hospital alone. No one should have to wait for bad news alone. No one should ever have to stand at an open grave alone. And I could go on and on. As Christians, we suffer with those in need or distress by giving ourselves away in imitation of Christ, who gave everything for us. Now, Anglican Christians tend to be tolerant, sometimes to a fault. But we are more interested in bringing people in rather than building walls to keep people out. To be compassionate is a labor of love, but it is a labor nonetheless. As St. Paul says elsewhere in Scripture, let us rejoice with those who rejoice, weep with those who weep, live in harmony with one another, do not be haughty, associate with the lowly, never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is good in the sight of all. Compassion is a very important part of our patrimony. And the third and the last is community. Part of the spiritual inheritance of this place is the quality of life in our parish community. In contrast to the big box churches, the sort of Walmarts of religion that we have in Texas, we are more like a family, and I would not have it any other way. And because we are more like a household than a corporation, that means that the burden on everyone is a little bit heavier. Again, go back to the liturgy. This is not an auditorium. This is not a place where you passively sit in your lazy boy pew while someone sings at you, prays at you, and preaches at you. This is a church. It is a place where the quality of our worship depends on your participation, where you are to sing with full voice, even if you can't sing, to make the responses with enthusiasm. Indeed, the word liturgy means work of the people. No one can worship for you. Now think of the implications of this. When even one member of the body is absent on any given Sunday, the praise that we sing is a little weaker. The prayers that we send to heaven are diminished. In the old days, they used to call it the sin of diminishing the body of Christ. The body of Christ is less than it could be. Worship is a work in which the whole household has a part to play. That's just one example. But suffice it to say that each of us has a part to play in creating the critical mass necessary for the smooth running of the household. You and I are not consumers of religion, but producers of authentic Christian family in this place. So there you have it. Christ, compassion, community. And these are three spiritual endowments that I think the Master of the Church has given in a particular way to St. James. Can we today resolve to use our spiritual patrimony wisely to benefit not only us, but all of those generations that are going to come after us? And our prayer always, always ought to be that Jesus Christ may be known, loved, obeyed, worshipped, and adored here until he comes again at the end of time. In this place, may we glimpse something of the glory of God and his kingdom. For this is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Let us stand and join with all who've gone before us and proclaim our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God.